Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3, Texts 6 through 8. Kintu Shastra Bhutvesyad Bahunam Nihakarminam Shastritvam Upacharohi Yata Mandalavartinam. Translation: the Yamadutas continued, since there are many different karmis or workers, there may be different judges or rulers to give them justice, but just as one central emperor controls different departmental rulers, there must be one supreme controller to guide all judges. So the purport. In governmental management, there may be departmental officials to give justice to different persons, but the law must be one, and that central law must control everyone. The Yamadutas could not imagine that two judges would give two different verdicts in the same case, and therefore they wanted to know who the central judge is. The Yamadutas were certain that Ajamil was the most sinful man, but although Yamaraj wanted to punish him, the Vishnudutas excused him. This was a puzzling situation that the Yamadutas wanted Yamaraj to clarify. Text 7. Atastvameko bahutanam, atastvameko bhutanam, Sheshvaranam Adishvara Shasta Danda Dharo Nirnam Subhasubha Vivechana. The supreme judge must be one, not many. It was our understanding that you are that supreme judge and that you have jurisdiction even over the demigods. Our impression was that you are the master of all living entities, the supreme authority who discriminates between the pious and impious activities of all human beings. Text 8. Tasya te vihito dando na loke vartate dhuna chaturbir adbhutai siddhair agya te vipralambita. Tasyate vihito dando naloke vartate dhuna chaturbhir adbhutai siddhair agyate vipralambita. Tasya,
tasya,
of the influence.
Te,
of you. Vihita,
vihita,
ordained.
Danda,
punishment.
Na,
not.
Loke,
within this world.
Vartate,
exists.
Adhuna,
now.
Chaturbhi,
by four.
Adbhutai,
very wonderful.
Siddhai,
perfected persons.
Agya,
the order.
Te,
your.
Vipralambita,
surpassed. Translation: but now we see that the punishment ordained under your authority is no longer effective, since your order has been transgressed by four wonderful and perfect persons. Please repeat.
But now
we see that the punishment ordained under your authority is no longer effective.
Since your order
has been transgressed
by four wonderful
and perfect persons. purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Yamadutas had been under the impression that Yamaraj was the only person in charge of administering justice. They were fully confident that no one could counteract his judgments. But now, to their surprise, his order had been violated by the four wonderful persons from Siddha Loka. Continuing the storyline, Yamaraj's servants are at a standstill, and they've just been overtaken by the Vishnudutas, who have come to the rescue of Ajamil at his hour of death. So, as we all know, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna that as the embodied soul continuously passes from this body, from youth to from birth to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. So at the time of death, the living entity is in a very unstable situation. Most people, they live life without thinking of the time of death. And in the Mahabharata, Yudhisthira, he quoted the famous verse when him and his brothers, the five Pandavas, were drinking at the water lake, and it was Yamaraj himself, as disguised, was asking him how many questions was it? 100? Many questions about the goal of life and philosophy. So the famous question is, we see that millions and millions of living entities, they meet death, but the most amazing thing is that we also have to meet the same fate, but we think that it will not happen to us. We see that our parents and their parents have all died, but we don't think it will happen to us. If we do think it will happen to us, we put that thought aside because it's too complicated to try to think about, because we have no immediate experience, meaning we have no experience ourselves in this life. But as we know, there's 8,400,000 species, and we've gone through all of those different reincarnations. And within the human form of life, we have the opportunity to get out of the cycle of samsara, of repeated birth and death, by understanding the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma. So the philosophy of Bhagavad Dharma, or Krishna consciousness, is available to all, especially in the form of the translated works of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. and our duty as his followers and disciples and grand disciples is to distribute this knowledge for the benefit of humanity at large. So book distribution is a very important part of Krishna consciousness. It is our family business given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And it's our duty to present Krishna consciousness in a way that is favorable and that the non-devotees can easily accept. So sometimes the devotees, they have different strategies for distributing Prabhupada's books, whether in street clothes or in dhoti. Sometimes it's more favorable to distribute in street clothes. Like, for example, in the beginning of ISKCON, in the beginning of the book distribution history in ISKCON, the idea was that that by distributing in non-devotional clothes, then more books could be distributed. And that may or may not be true, but we see that, like here in Slovenia, the Padayatra is very successful after many, many years, and people can accept the Krishna conscious lifestyle by getting Srila Prabhupada's books. They can come to practice spiritual life, and thus be benefited from birth and death, even if they may not be able to take it up fully in one lifetime. They can come back, and in the next life, the benefit is never lost. So in today's verse, one of the key words is danda, and or dando. I'm sorry, dando. And in the word for word, it's dandaha, which means punishment. And it's explained that there's four kinds of instruction. The king, he generally instructs according to person and according to their different levels of reception. And one of the instructions is through kind words. But not everyone is receptive in the same way. So then the king, he instructs also by giving a special post or position to his subordinate. And then what is it? There's two left. Can anyone?
What?
I think that's the last one. the third one is
Sama. Sama Veda. Sandanda.
Sama?
Veda.
Veda.
Danda.
No, there's supposed to be four, right? Maybe I mistook the first one, but by speaking nicely, by giving special
By dividing.
Maybe that was it. Anyhow, so dividing, speaking nicely, giving a special position or post, and the last one is by force. Confirmed. So, also just Shishi Pancha Tattva Ki Jai. There's a pastime in the Gaur Lila when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he would go to Jagannath Puri every year for the Rath Yatra, and he instructed his followers from Navadvip to also go every year, and they would go accompanied by all their friends and relatives and family members, and their tour guide was who was it? Shivananda Sen. Yes, thank you. Shivananda Sen, and Shivananda Sen, he would take all precautions and organize the tour very nicely, and he would carry everyone's passport and visa and spending money and like that. Back in those days, there was the occupation of Islamic rulers was pervasive. Approximately, the Muslims occupied India for a total of 800 years, and so they had many checkpoints and restrictions all throughout the country, and everyone had to have special papers, documentation like that. Letters of recommendation, letters of invitation to go to different parts of the country. So Shivananda Sen, he made sure that he had everyone's documents ready. And not only that, but he also had some attachment to a Vaishnava dog. And so he would make sure that not only all the pilgrims in the group, they had all their necessities taken care of, but also the dog. The dog would be taken care of. He would be fed nicely and like that. And so, Shivananda Sen, he was very well organized, and then what happened was that the devotees that were in charge of giving food to the dog, they forgot one day. And apparently the dog went away. And so then Shivananda Sen became very upset. So he went and organized search parties to try to find his friend, the Vaishnav dog. And so they searched and searched, but they were not successful. And then at some point they their trip became delayed, and all the different procedures for room and board, they became a little disorganized. So Lord Nityananda, who was traveling with them, and at some point they were late in their itinerary, and they didn't eat for a whole day or something like that, and their rooming was maybe canceled or something. And so then Lord Nityananda, he approached Shivananda Sen. And does anyone remember what happened?
He
kicked him, but he kicked him in the chest or in the head? I think it was the chest. I'm not sure. Okay. So I think it was in the chest. No, actually I'm pretty sure. And he kicked him very hard in the chest. And personally, whenever I read about this pastime, I become a little confused that why Lord Nityananda would do such a thing. Also, many times non-devotees have a preconceived idea of spiritual life, meaning that you sit in a cave and you meditate very peacefully, and you have your eyes closed and there's no activity. But in Krishna consciousness, spiritual life is full of activity. And not only is it full of apparently nice activity, but there's also activity which may appear to be not nice, such as Lord Nityananda kicking Shivananda Sen in the chest.
And
Lord Nityananda cursed Shivananda's sons to die. So what was Shivananda Sen's reaction when Lord Nityananda kicked him and when he cursed his sons to die?
He danced in ecstasy.
Hari Hari Bo. Yeah. So spiritual life is not stagnant, it's ecstatic. And it may appear that we may be sad, but even if we look like we're sad, if we have a sad face, our heart is always very happy. And the nature of the living entity is eternal, full of knowledge and happiness. Sat Chit Ananda. And so the soul is never affected by heat or cold, happiness or distress, or bodily affliction or psychological affliction. There's one Prabhupada disciple, she passed away in America. And she was, I guess you could say, one of my Pradakshina gurus. And she was very mystical. And She was part of the BBT. She in New York City in the very early days, and her name was Mother Isha. And she, when I joined in 1983, His Holiness Niranjana Swami, who was the regional secretary, he took me to this home program in Massachusetts. Massachusetts is where Prabhupada, he first, when he traveled to the USA, he went to Boston first. So I joined in Boston. So we went to this program maybe two or three hours away, and Mother Isha was there, and she was telling me that I was very special devotee, and I was thinking, I don't, how can I be special? I just joined a few weeks ago, so I cannot be special. So she said I was very special, and she apparently the story that I heard was that before she joined, she practiced like white magic or something like this, and so there was one Sankirtan bus, and they were distributing books traveling, and their bus broke down right in front of her house, and she came out of the house, and she started chanting Nrisingha Dev prayers, and nobody knows how she knew the Nrisingha Dev prayers, because she hadn't had any contact with the devotees. But anyhow, many, many years after, maybe like in the 1900s, 1990s, I'm sorry. I don't know which year exactly she passed away. But before she passed away, she was in a care home for older people, and she, I guess, was it Parkinson's or was the other one? One of the two, I get them mixed up. Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. I think which one is worse than which one is more severe? Parkinson's or Alzheimer's?
Alzheimer's, higher functions are more afflicted.
Right, Alzheimer's. So I don't know which, if she had Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, but anyhow, she completely lost all her memory, and but she didn't forget Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So whether we are treated nicely in spiritual life or we're treated not nicely in spiritual life, like Shivananda saying, or whether we lose our mind, like many devotees, they lose their intelligence or their mind like that, still the Maha Mantra is always effective, and Even if we forget the Maha Mantra, Krishna never forgets. And so these transcendental books by Srila Prabhupada, they are meant to save humanity from this forgetfulness of Krishna. And so the Yamadutas, they were given instructions by Yamaraj to to take the impious souls that at the time of death and to punish them. So the Yamadutas, they had this instruction from Yamaraj. So I'm not sure, but I can try to speculate that Yamaraj must have given them the wrong impression, the apparently wrong impression for them, or for in general, that Yamaraj was supreme, and they apparently must have believed that Yamaraj was supreme. I think that I could venture to say that Yamaraj must have told them that he was supreme, because otherwise it's not very clear that the Yamadutas would be so ignorant. So I'm thinking that Yamaraj, just like Lord Buddha, he appeared in society when Kali Yuga was very effective, and society at that time, they were misinterpreting the scriptures, just like there's the different kinds of sacrifice. There's also the sacrifice of animals, and at that time the sacrifice of animals wasn't to just kill the animals, but actually the Hare Krishna. Okay. So I have, since I'm sitting here as like the teacher, then I have to punish you for falling asleep. So I punish you to stand up. I also had a similar experience when I was a new devotee. It was the Vyasa Puja of Satsvarupa Maharaj. And I was also very, very, very sleepy. So I tried using my intelligence. So I didn't stay sitting down because I didn't want that to happen. So I stood up, and I stood in the doorway between the temple room and the outside hall. So I was really very tired, and so the doorway was actually very close to the Vyasa-san. So maybe 5 meters or 6-7 meters. So I was pretty close to His Holiness Satsvarupa Maharaj, and I was so tired that I was like moving like this, and then I was moving like this, and then I was moving like this. So when I was moving like this, standing up, then His Holiness Satsvarupa Maharaj, he stopped the class, and he looked at me, and he said, "Are you in or are you out?" Because I was like in the door and out the door. Speaking of the sleeping state, another time was we were doing the very, very fired up kirtan. And this was like after Guru Puja. And the kirtan was so fired up that there was like maybe 10 devotees. And we were all jumping up and down. And I was also jumping up and down. And I was in the middle. And we were jumping really hard, like really jumping. And then at some point, I jumped up in the air, and my eyes shut, and I was asleep in the air. And then my feet touched I came down, and when my feet touched the floor, then I went. And all the devotees, they were like, ha 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 ha. It was they saw me that I was sleeping in the air. And then when I hit the floor and I woke up, then they started laughing very, very hard. And I was like very embarrassed. Like you can imagine. So this is very instructive. So if this ever happens, then if you don't want to be embarrassed in the Srimad Bhagavatam class, you don't want to be out and you don't want to be in, but it might be a good idea to stand up, because at least if you're standing up. Oh, there's another story I heard that one sannyasi, he had his danda. And he couldn't stay awake, so he just he went like this, and his danda hit the person in front of him. So Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that. We follow the regulative principles of freedom. The four regulative principles are no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, and no meat, fish, or eggs. So gambling doesn't just mean the lottery, but it means mental speculation. Or material speculation. We can speculate in philosophy. We can speculate spiritually, but not material speculation. So the Yamadutas here, they're speculating, or they're trying to understand why they have been interceded, or what's the word? They've been stopped from their service by the Vishnudutas. And so Yamaraj, he must have told them that that they, just like Lord Buddha, he told everyone to stop reading the Vedas. Because they were misinterpreting the Vedas, and for the animal sacrifices in those days, the Brahmins were very powerful, and when they chanted the mantras, they would give the animals a new body, and they would give new life to the old animals, so they would get a new body. But with the advancement of Kali Yuga, the mantras had less and less effect. So they were in the name of animal sacrifice, people were indulging in eating animals like that. So as we know, Lord Buddha, he preached ahimsa. So his whole movement was to stop unnecessary violence, and so therefore he discontinued. He asked his followers to discontinue following the scriptures. So he tricked them by saying that there's, you know, there's just stop all your sentimental religious practice and just follow me. So they believed that Buddha was actually supreme in that sense. So the Yamadutas, they had no understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. But they had the living example of Buddha, I'm sorry, of Yamaraj. So Yamaraj to them was the supreme. And time is almost up. It's almost nine. Oh, it's already nine. I'm sorry. I don't know the time. So yes, Yamaraj, he's the Lord of Death. And Ajamil, he was spared by the mercy of the Vishnudutas, who were instructed to save anyone who chanted the holy name of Narayan or Vishnu. So if there's any questions, we can open up right now.
What is material speculation?
Material speculation, okay. And sometimes the devotees, they will, well, okay, yeah. There's three kinds of preaching. Lazy, intelligent preaching. Active, intelligent preaching. And foolish, intelligent preaching. So foolish, intelligent preaching is mental speculation. In active, intelligent preaching, we use a lot of money, a lot of energy, a lot of strategy, a lot of organization for the preaching mission. And so that's very good, because there has to be some kind of preaching that has some effect. And lazy, intelligent preaching is the highest. Although the word lazy has a negative connotation. But lazy means that with the least amount of energy, resources, and money, and power, you get the most result. So Prabhupada explains that lazy, intelligent preaching is that by sitting in one place, in like Mayapur or Vrindavan, and chanting Hare Krishna, everyone comes to the temple like that. Of course, here we have the same situation. The devotees are going on Padyatra and they're inviting everyone to come to the temple. So that, in one sense, is active, intelligent preaching. But the temple itself is a lazy, intelligent preaching project, because we have a situation where people can actually take up Krishna consciousness nicely. Otherwise, we could, you know, like Prabhupada says, that we could live under a tree, but nobody would come. Therefore, we have these temples like that. So that's very necessary. And that's called active, intelligent preaching. So foolish, intelligent preaching means that whatever you do, nothing works. You know, the temples spend so much money and make so many devotees, but the devotees, they leave or whatever. And then, you know, we do all kinds of different preaching programs, but it's not very effective. So that you know, and we lose the preaching gets watered down or whatever. So that's foolish, intelligent preaching. When the preaching gets lost, like the spirit of the preaching spirit gets lost. So that's foolish, intelligent, like that. So, What was your question? Oh, mental speculation. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, one form of mental speculation, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the, what's it called? What's the book called? Madhurya Kadambini. He explains sometimes devotees, they begin spiritual life and they're very enthusiastic, but then sometime down the road they have different doubts and they begin to think, well, actually we're supposed to surrender everything and focus all our attention on loving Krishna, but we're also supposed to serve the devotees, and maybe I should change my ashram. Maybe that might be more beneficial and more effective and helpful. But then maybe it's also a waste of time, because then you have to work and you have to make money to support the household, and then you have to pay all the bills and send the children to school and pay, you know, the doctor bills, and the children get sick, and but so maybe it's just easier if I can just, you know, be determined and be a brahmachari and, you know, forget about this grihastha, and then I can, you know, I can preach and I can become a pure devotee. But actually I'm not a pure devotee, and it's a very difficult spiritual life, so I don't know, maybe I should change my ashram after all, because brahmachari life is very austere, and all the devotees, they're always chastising me, and I never have an easy life in the ashram. And if I move out of the ashram and I have my own place, then I can be peaceful, and then I can, you know, I can practice spiritual life, you know, and nobody will be like shouting at me, and I won't have 100 devotees, you know, telling me what, you know, that I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do this, I have to do that, you know, and so many services, and I don't even have time to chant my rounds, and I don't have time to read and study the books, and, you know, so spiritual life is very difficult, and grihastha life is very difficult, and brahmachari life is difficult, so I don't know what I should do. Should I be a brahmachari? Should I be a grihastha? I don't know. So that's speculation. You know, we're trying to understand, but there's no real good, you know, real conclusion, and so we're going here and there, you know, our back and forth like that. So that's one example. So spiritual speculation would be according to Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That you know, we need to change our ashram, but it should be done properly. You know, like Prabhupada said, men are good and women are good, but men and women together are not good. So then they asked Prabhupada, so then what does that mean? And Prabhupada says, that requires good management. So, yes, spiritual life is also difficult, but material life is more difficult. Spiritual life is hard, but material life is impossible. So, we should all chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Gaura Premanandini Hari 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 Hari